This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you at 6:38 in the evening. Our next story is about Pakatan Harapan's real test. And of course, that will come after this honeymoon period is over.
That's a bit ominous, Uma.
No, okay, so you know, all of these promises, Caroline, were based on this 100-day, this arbitrary 100 days, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was a mistake from the get-go. In the sense that for the longest time, so the 100 days actually just comes from American politics, and where the media started kind of going on about how much can a president accomplish in his first 100 days, the answer to which is not much at all.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But then that number stuck. And now every conversation, even outside of the American political sphere, somehow we think 100 days is a benchmark of something.
Yep. So it's, for us, it's arbitrary.
Yes.
Yes.
And so therefore, I guess the reality will sink in. I mean, people are willing to forgive maybe for that 100 days as well. And then when all of those achievements don't happen, all of these promises don't happen, then yes, the honeymoon period is over.
Well, Jayan Menon, the lead economist at the Asian Development Bank Office for Regional Economic Integration, would agree. In fact, there's an article out where it says, you wait till the honeymoon is over, essentially. That's when the real test will come. Most of the challenges require wide-ranging reforms that may test the integrity of what Jayan says is a loosely bound coalition.
Yeah.
He points out the fact that they're united by that main bond, right? The fact that they were opposed to the Barisan National. An example of early signs of conflict, he points out the inter-component disgruntlement over the cabinet lineup. We talked about that when it happened.
Yeah. I think a lot of analysts often talk about things like this, you know, they talk about stability, but stability at the expense of what, right? We had stability in the past. It came at the expense of extreme corruption. Mm-hmm. It also came at the expense of UMNO bulldozing every other member of the component parties. Like, yes, we are all equal under Barisan National. Nonsense. You weren't, right? MIC and MCA were always subservient to UMNO. Maybe in the days of the alliance, they had more of a say, but, you know, in recent memory, I think UMNO has always been supreme in the Barisan and National Coalition, with the exception of maybe the Sarawak parties, who at least had that fixed deposit to hang over them at all times.
But I think what he's trying to point out here is there are practical realities to be considered. He's saying we have to be realistic about the challenge, not think that changing the government is the solution to all our problems. It's just the start of the challenge. So essentially, you know, sort of get buckled in. It's going to be a rough ride. And it's important to manage those expectations simply because, you know, as you mentioned, it's an arbitrary period.
Yeah. I disagree with him in one sense, in the sense that I think the messiness is a good thing. I think we've never experienced this messiness. And maybe for, I guess, investors and analysts, it may feel a little unusual. But for the most part, this transparency of this process, yes, there was squabbling over the cabinet positions and all of that stuff. I think now that we're seeing how the sausage is made, actually can be good in the long run. We're going to cross over now to political analyst O.E. Sun. It's a pleasure having you join us on the show, E. Sun. Now, the article mentions that there are a lot of internal tensions that the party will have to deal with, and that's been quite apparent lately with different parties wanting a seat at the table. Why is this happening?
Well, this is a very new coalition. It came to power very shortly, I think less than a year after it became a coalition. So undoubtedly, there is sometimes disagreements as to how, for example, the government should go forward. There are also different views as to how to put it very bluntly, how to divide up the various positions in government and so on. I think, for example, those PH component parties which won a lot of seats, such as PKR and DAP, of course, they would like to see more, for example, representations in the cabinet. But the other smaller parties, of course, they do not like to be marginalized, right? So at the moment, Dr. Mahathir is adopting a more or less equalized approach, namely each of these component sub-parties, they have approximately similar numbers of ministers in the cabinet and so on. Now, this, of course, then would create a bit of tension both among the various component parties, because those parties with more seats, of course, they feel that, you know, we should get more. But also within these bigger parties within the coalition, such as PKI, DAP, imagine you have 40 over MPs, but you have only like, what, 6, 7, or 8 ministerships, so everybody had to fight for it, right? Whereas in the smaller parties, almost everybody is guaranteed to be a minister if you're elected. So this would create certain tensions. But for me, these are what we call thiefing problems. I think with time, they could smooth over this as they find a better or more optimal way of accommodating each other.
Okay, will these internal struggles, you think, for positions potentially break up the coalition?
Well, they cannot afford to break up, because if they do, then it means the single largest party within the whole country, namely UMNO, would likely come back to power, perhaps in conjunction with PAS and so on. And even if one of these PH component parties were, well, to put it very bluntly, to join forces with UMNO, UMNO would still be the one which is dominating. Imagine many of these PH component parties members, for them, they left the previous Barisan Nasional precisely because they do not want to be dominated by UMNO. So I think the likelihood of breaking up, I think, is low.
Right. So one of the reasons why this coalition managed to get into power was because they had a very strong common cause to bring down an extremely corrupt regime. What is the thing that will hold the party together now that they no longer have the same enemy?
Well, I think right now we are actually at some of a transition stage. For example, at the moment, perhaps the person which can sort of smooth over differences and hold together this PH coalition is indeed the Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir. He, assuming there is a smooth transition of power to Anwar, I think Anwar will similarly be able to hold this coalition together, because he has previously successfully led the previous reincarnation of Pakatan Harapan, namely Pakatan Rakyat, to 2 consecutive relative electoral victories. So I think we are looking at a lot of people trying to jostle for powers and so on. But at the end of the day, I don't think they will rock the big boat that is the PH government.
Well, it is interesting that you know, you're mentioning personalities that are going to hold the party together as opposed to a common ideology shared.
Well, I think in terms of ideology, this Pakatan Harapan has actually very few common elements. The single most prominent common element would, of course, be their stance on, for example, public integrity, anti-corruption, and so on. Other than that, you see, for example, there is a religious party, Amanda. There is a racialized party, which is Dr. Mahathir's party. And then the other two parties are more multiracial, the PKI and the DAP, and so on. So indeed, it is a coalition of convenience. So how to go forward and try to still build on their common sort of anti-corruption stance, I think that is the main challenge for them as well.
All right, we'll get back to Anwar Ibrahim in just a moment. But before we go there, I'd like to address how the electorate might come into this picture. Will voters be able to help the coalition manage its internal power struggles? I mean, in a sense where they can help stop their leaders from taking actions that are beneficial only to themselves and not to the government and political party.
I think this coalition is voted in by mainly the urban and suburban, more educated elites and so on. If you go to the more rural areas, you see that UMNO and even PAS will still hold quite large sway, so-called, in their governance. So I think those who voted this government in, of course, because they are more well-educated, so they would look very closely as to what this government is doing. I don't think they will go back to UMNO or PAS, but from time to time, you will see the electorate, for example, punishing the new government if they feel that the government is not doing as they promised. For example, I think the upcoming by-election in Selangor, I think there will be one chance to see whether indeed the new government, the candidates still retain the same level of support.
Right. And just going back to Anwar for a bit, what kind of impact do you think his eventual full-fledged political return will mean for the coalition?
Anwar has proven himself to be a person who can hold together coalition as he did during the Pakatan Rakyat era. But I think a lot of people nowadays are worried about, well, very ironically, for example, Anwar's health versus Dr. Mahathir's health, even though they have a huge age difference, right? So eventually, we would like to see what is Anwar's real, let's say, policy or politics or philosophy. Because, well, his previous stint as Deputy Prime Minister, that did not perhaps give him too much room to sort of exercise his political philosophy. In a sense, a lot of people don't quite know who is the real Anwar, just that he is somebody who can be rallied around in order to overturn the previous government.
Ihsan, thank you so much for that analysis. That was political analyst Dr. Oh Ihsan with his thoughts on the troubles that currently plague the Pakatan Harapan government. We've got some music coming your way now. Def Leppard with Animal on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.